for My Pathway, for all your employment training and recruitment needs. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Good morning and welcome back out to Tasmania Talks. I'm Brian Carlton. We are broadcasting today live from the Penny Royal in Launceston, one of the great, great outdoor locations I've done broadcasts from. I love a look on the tourist faces when they walk in. There's a couple of ladies just literally standing over here now, looking up at the waterfall, and the jaw is slack and the eyes are wide and that's wow, and just pointing at it. When you see that kind of reaction on a visitor face, you know you're doing something right. We are at the Penny Royal, as I mentioned. Come and say good day, or alternately you can jump on the phone if you've got something to say. 1300 00 1012 is the telephone number. Big weekend coming up at Penny Royal, particularly tomorrow night. As you know, the massive Halloween party that kicks off at 4 o'clock, which we'll tell you about a bit more later. But just in terms of the actual development, the time it's taken to get it to this state, the amount of effort that's gone into getting that balance I was alluding to earlier between a modern visitor tourist experience married up with the heritage and the history, and also the interactive technology that's been built into the Penny Royal experience. Some of the animatronics, for example, are absolutely state of the art. So it's this incredible blend of styles and periods, but the overall impact of it is like walking into another world, and it does literally transport you to somewhere else. And it's one of the things that I've always loved about the place. One of the drivers, possibly the driver, apart from Joseph Cromie, who's I guess the emotional driver behind the whole project, is Dean Cocker, who's the managing director of the JAC Group, and he's sitting next to me right now at Penny Royal. Dean, congratulations! First up, it is a wonderful thing you've done for our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here, and it's a fantastic development for Launceston and Northern Tasmania.
How's it been received generally? You'd obviously be across numbers and the attitude of the people. I've just described a couple of tourists, ogling at this wonderful waterfall you've got here, but for those who maybe have a memory of it pre the renovation and the restoration, how is it the compare and contrast favourable for them?
Look, I think a lot of people have nostalgia for the old Penny Royal, and they've loved coming back. And some people have said, "Oh, we used to love the barge ride," and they come back. But what we've actually done is put it on steroids, basically, and soup it up so that it's more up to date. When it was developed back in the late 1970s, expectations were perhaps a bit different. These days, families can travel to the Gold Coast to go to the parks there, although they've got a few issues. But, people go to Disneyland in Tokyo or Europe, Paris, America. It's quite routine now for families to take overseas holidays. They see the best in the world, so we thought we'd better bring the best in the world to here. So we actually got, for example, with the animatronics in the dark ride, we actually got the people who do the Disneyland animatronics, Sally Corp in Jacksonville, Florida, or one of the many that assist with Disneyland, mm-hmm. and we actually had them help us to put some of the characters in, but we also use local people as well.
And the story of Matthew Brady is a wonderful one, and the interactive nature of the ride, it puts you in the story. You sort of become part of it, and you get more of an ownership of the story. I love the way you've done that. And also, I found out last night too that you've written lyrics and some of the music and some of the songs for the experience on the ride. You had this extra talent.
Musical theatre is one of the things I do. Some people might remember me from the Phantom of the Opera, that I played the Phantom in Launceston and a few other musical shows. So
it's in your blood.
Yeah, so I basically put that into play to try and create basically a theatrical experience as you go around the ride, and coupling that with the animatronics, getting some of my mates in the theatre game, yeah. People like Colin Dean, who's down in Hobart. He performs professionally in musicals around Australia, and so recording some of the songs. Yes, I did write the words to most of them. They're based on the historical accounts of what happened, and I've just sort of written the poetry, and in the interpretation panels, the stories, they're the words of the songs.
Isn't it nice to have a job where you can bring in one of your passions into your day job? I mean, that's a nice thing.
I never thought I'd be running a theme park, but a broad background always comes in handy in any occupation, I think.
Let's talk where we move forward here, because you've got a couple of really exciting plans underway, some of which we've spoken about already on the show.
Yep.
The cable car plan, let's pop that aside for a second, because as you and I were talking off air, you're going to try and work out what you're doing with the hotel site just adjacent to us here at Penny Royal.
Yes.
Before you work out what you want to do exactly with the cable car in terms of where it plugs into this
end. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you just talk us through where the process is at? Because you were originally, I was reading, going to make the development application for the cable car.
Yes.
Around about now-ish.
That's right. We have plans to develop a cable car that would go from Penny Royal into the gorge, basically along the, the northern boundary of the West Launceston Road Reserve, and basically popping over the hill. With the way things worked out in the election, our group is neither in favour or against any particular party at all, but what we do like to see is that we actually have representatives in Cabinet. We used to have that with Richard Colbeck. He was someone who was very helpful in supporting tourism, and with Tasmania now no longer having anyone in Cabinet, we haven't got a voice there. Something like, for example, the cable car, we would be investing, you know, over $6 million, but it would involve some public infrastructure like car parking for council, and also slip roads and the like off the West Tamar Highway, and that was in the order of $6 million, and that's according to our engineers, of public infrastructure. And to ask for the federal government to provide that kind of money is difficult in circumstances where, you know, Tasmania no longer has a voice in Cabinet. So I think there's an opportunity there down the track, and whether it's Labor or Liberal or however the mix is, as long as Tasmania is adequately represented in Cabinet with ministerial positions, I think there's more opportunity to get that kind of funding for developments like the gondola or other developments in tourism. So what we've done is, as well, we've purchased the TRC site, which goes from Patterson Street, Margaret Street, through to Brisbane Street. We're currently, we've just had a development application approved for the 100-car car park in that area.
Yep.
It's 87 plus a few other bits and pieces of areas that could take it to 100 cars. And what we would like to do is we're already in discussion with some architects, and we'll be having four architects provide concepts for us to look at for the redevelopment of that into a hotel that might have about 150 rooms, 500-seat conference centre, and what we would like to do as well is explore the option, would it be more economic in terms of less public money required if we were to extend the gondola not just to the top of the cliff near Penny Royal and have gardens, have parking within Jubilee Gardens, which some people might know the zigzag road up there. But we might also be able to extend it further across, and it might actually go to the hotel itself on the top floor, and maybe have a wine bar at the top of the top of the hotel. So that is very, very preliminary concepts. We don't know whether that's possible or not. So what we've told the engineers on the gondola is to basically don't do any further work until we work up the hotel proposal with the architects and we see what is possible and what's not possible. And if it's not possible to take it through to there, then we would once again be looking at the top of the Penny Royal cliffs.
So, okay, that's actually potentially very exciting, isn't it? Because how high is the hotel you're planning? How many stories?
It's at least seven stories. It could go to nine.
Okay.
It depends on how many rooms are in the hotel. So if it was in the order of, 120 rooms, it might be seven. But if it was 160 rooms, it might get it up to about nine stories.
Gosh, that would be wonderful to have the cable car terminate on the roof of the hotel.
Well, I think it would be quite unique.
Just the view from there, I mean, coming off the gondola from that view and then landing on the roof of the hotel with views straight out over the Tamar, for example. I mean, and Launceston CBD. Yeah.
What it would do, if it would even be a better link to the city, you would have the Bathurst Street car park not far away, and there are discussions that council have amongst themselves about developing that into multi-storey. So if, when it comes to car parking, there would be plenty of public car parking within half a block's walk. The hotel itself would have an additional 150 car spaces in addition to the 100, so we would have 250 car spaces. They might develop there 300 or 400 at Bathurst Street. It's right near the city, and you know, we'd probably just have a bigger lift so it could take more people up to the top deck.
Okay.
But these are all preliminary thoughts.
Of course, but all of the great actualities come from preliminary thoughts, people having an idea, people having a dream and trying to action it. You've got to have the concept first, don't you? I mean, it's important to do that.
And I should be upfront about it. You know, Joe was certainly a critical person in terms of, you know, maybe we could take it to the top of the hotel. So that was actually Joe's idea.
Great idea. Yeah. Look, I'm concerned about your suggestion that perhaps we're not getting the representation in cabinet that we need now. I mean, I'm very aware of the issue, and there were concerns expressed by business people such as yourself after the election that this was not going to be a good outcome for Tasmania. So what I'm asking you now is you are feeling the impact. It's materially impacting your business not having that ability to get into the cabinet space via a local representative.
I guess what I would say is now that we don't have a ministerial representative, particularly someone in tourism, but someone in cabinet, that's certainly been a factor in our decision to delay moving forward with the gondola, because it would involve asking for federal funds for public infrastructure.
And you don't feel that there is anybody able to effectively do that lobbying on our behalf?
What's currently happening, as I understand it from tourism representatives, is that our heads of tourism bodies, as in whether it be Tourism Tasmania or the Tourism Industry Council, they actually jump on a plane, fly up to Canberra and do direct lobbying of tourism ministers. Whereas perhaps in the past, while they may have done that, they would also have a local advocate who would be in the cabinet saying, this is something that needs to be given an allocation of resources in the next budget or however. And if you haven't got a representative at that ministerial and cabinet level, it's common sense that you are not going to have the ear of the Prime Minister as to the same extent.
I guess crystal ball gazing, that situation may change at some point in the not-too-distant future.
That's right, and if things change, and, you know, whether it's Labor or Liberal, as I said, we're business people, we deal with both sides
of politics. Or the same party, but possibly a different Prime Minister with a different cabinet mix. I wouldn't rule that out at this stage.
Well, I won't go there. Well,
I know you are. You won't. Tell me, Dean, what's the... I'm speaking with Dean Cocker, who's the Managing Director of the JAC Group, responsible for this brilliant, brilliant redevelopment of the Penny Royal. What are the plans for the other end of the cable car, where it terminates at the basin?
So the intention there would be a station located not that far from the glass inclinator.
Okay, yep.
So basically disabled people, the elderly... or people who just aren't as physically fit would be
looking at one. elderly and lack of fitness.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty critical thing.
I agree.
Some people say, you know, well, you can get great views from the zigzag track, yes, but not many people actually have the physical fitness to do that.
Yeah.
Families with their pusher prams, children, people who are not that physically able, are not able to experience a zigzag track, and this ride would actually be above the tree canopy, which means it would even be a superior view even to the zigzag track. But basically it would drop people down into the gorge. The view of the actual infrastructure would be hidden by the hills and the trees from, let's say, if you were at the Alexandra Bridge.
Yep.
So it would be relatively discreet, and it's also because of the curve that's on the southern side of the gorge, Cataract Gorge Hill that goes up to West Launceston, because of the curvature of it, and because the gondola would be up on the near the top of it, when you're actually through the middle of the cataract walk, and you look up, the curvature would actually stop you from seeing the cable car.
You're not going to see it at all. As you do the walk from, say, Kingsbridge, just here, up the path on the, what would it be, the northwestern side, would it?
Yes, northwestern side.
You won't see the cable car at all.
You won't see the cable car. You won't see it. And that's the intention. It's designed to be discreet that way. But, of course, when you're in the cable car, you're above the canopy. The view's of Launceston, and if it went through to the top of the TRC new hotel... Brilliant. The views of the city and down the river would be spectacular, but then you would also, in the gorge, have a spectacular view.
Dean, congratulations. I know a huge amount of hard work's gone into getting Pennyroyal to where it is now. Clearly, this is not the end of the plan for the precinct, and when you have a look at it in totality, what you're planning to do with the hotel site, with the cable car, you know, the parking and access, it really will turn this part of Launceston, as you say, just adjacent to the CBD, into a proper tourism precinct, won't it? Entertainment, eating, visual experience, the gorge in a way that you'd never been able to experience it before without having to walk. You talk about pusher prams. There's lots of young mums around who are bringing the kids in for a bounce on the castle and having a coffee.
Yep.
And they would on the cable car.
Yep.
Have access to the basin without having to do the whole push and the whole up the stairs and all that.
That's right. $20 a ride is not really too expensive, we would have thought.
No. Look, you know, it's again, when you're looking at inbound tourism, what was it? We've just declared 1 million from the mainland.
From the mainland, a million
inbound tourists last year is extraordinary. So this is the growing market that you're looking at tapping into and providing jobs, generating wealth. I mean, it's all about growing the pie, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Dean, it's a great pleasure. Thank you very much for hosting us here today. I'm having an absolute ball. It is one of the great places to do an outside broadcast, bar none.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks
Brian.
For your time. Dean Cocker, who's the Managing Director of the JAC Group, responsible for everything you see here at Pennyroyal. Come and say good day. This is Taz Talks. I'm Brian Colt.
For My Pathway, for all your employment, training and recruitment needs, another Tasmania Talks podcast.